All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. December 10th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the east side. I hope it's great wherever you are at. A little chilly, but not bad. Really not bad. Beautiful day. In fact, Tuesday, back to work. Had a few days off. Yeah, ready to get back to work, being a little more productive. I do love a good day off, but man, sometimes I feel like I'm just too lazy. So back to work, looking forward to that busy day full of clients. I think I'm working till like 7, so it'll be a good day. Yeah, I thought I'd sit down and chat a bit and catch up and see what's been going on. I think I shared over the last couple of weeks, the big parade, the big Christmas parade was this Saturday. It had sort of been on my radar as something that was creating a little anxiety in my life. And when I say anxiety, I try to look at anxiety as God's way of telling me I have something to work on. And I don't really know what I had to work on because there was, we did a few things, but it was really just about showing up and participating. And I don't know. I don't really have too many things that stress me out, but for some reason, man, the Christmas parade always sort of gets me a bit. And but the day came on Saturday, and it was amazing. Like usual, both my boys came down. David came down from Wilmington, and Sam was here, and they participated. And my wife and daughter were in another group of the parade with the horses, and they participated. And it was just really... You know, it's funny because this town really gets crazy during the summer. I mean, tons of visitors, really gets pretty wild. But, you know, this time of year, it's a lot of the locals, and it's just, you know, small town living, man, because, you know, all the families were out helping each other. Our float was a little farther down the path, or down the, I don't know, staging area, I guess you could say, for my wife's. But we went down there, and they had this huge spread of food. I mean, chili and turkey and pulled pork and coffee and donuts. I mean, big time stuff. Our group had nothing. I was going to try to make some chili and bring it, but I had no, I didn't have anywhere to keep or any way to keep it hot. So I didn't make it and I felt a little bit bad. But we survived. But went down and saw the folks where my wife was at and ended up eating a bunch of food. It was just really just great, you know, great reminder what a great town we live in. And the parade was awesome. It was a little chilly. It was cold, but it was not bad. And that was one of the things I was stressed out about. It's going to be cold. It was not that cold. I think the biggest issue for me when it comes to these things is leaving my car somewhere. Not that I'm worried about the car. It's just my escape, my way of getting out of there. And it all worked out fine. Doing it the way that we did it this year was more convenient than me trying to avoid not being able to get to my car, which is what I did last year, which turned out to be really inconvenient. And yeah, it was just a great night, man. Very, very excited. And yeah, it turns out I talked to my coach yesterday. The results are out from the parade, and not only did we get first place in audio, thank you very much. But we got first place in original float.
Is this just another day? It's gone forgotten place. First comes love and then comes pain. Let the show begin. Questions arise and answers fall. Insurmountable. Love boat captain, take the reins and steer us. Oh,
Captain, Pearl Jam Live. I'm going to unplug that because, man, I've been having some really interesting... I tried to do this podcast yesterday. I talked about it a little bit last week. I don't know what's going on. There's a lot of gremlins in the system, but like the phone will just start playing. It's been bizarre. So I'm just going to unplug it and see if I can... Because I did a podcast yesterday. It was pretty good. And then all of a sudden the music started playing. Everything went to hell in a handbasket. And I was like, all right, I hear you. I'm not going to do it. So, yeah, but anyway, so the float, the team, we won first place twice. We won first place in audio and first place in original float, which was really cool, man. And I am proud. I'm proud to be part of the group and proud and happy for the group because we put a lot of people put a lot of work into the float. Last year we did the same parade and didn't get any mentions. And I think, you know, just like life, man, we try to look at how we did last year and see where we could make our float and team better. And we did, man. We improved it and we won. So, and I don't even know, you know, best audio and best original float. I'm not sure if there's a grand winner. But hey, man, at least we got some mentions. A lot better than we did last year, even though, you know, last year was cool. But there's just a point, man, when you come down Savannah Road and, you know, I walked in a parade a couple years, or I guess this summer for RFK Jr. Not as fun. Not as pleasant. But I did it, right? And but this one was cool because, you know, everybody there was about Christmas and the holidays and being happy. And so really a great vibe. I was sitting, you know, I think I've shared our boat is, it's one of our boats is 44 feet long. It's a 44 foot canoe. And I was sitting in the back seat, the seat six. And the way this thing sits on the trailer, it's on a trailer with two harnesses or whatever you want. It's a little early, but it just fits in these grooves on this trailer. But about 10 feet of the back end hangs off. And I was sitting in seat six at the very end, so I was actually hanging out over the back of the trailer, which was cool. But there was a couple times we went around some turns, man, and that rear end came a swinging. I'm like, watch your head. thought we were going to decapitate somebody. And then pulling onto Second Street, man, the crowd was just crazy. Not for just us, for everybody. Everybody was having a great time. Small town living, man, and just really a lot of fun. So that's behind us. Nothing on the radar. A couple things on the radar, but nothing that bad. It'll all be fine. And I just, you know, I kept analyzing. I'm trying to understand why do these things give me such stress? Because it does the same thing to my wife. You know, and I think it's just being inconvenienced. You know, arrogance did not show up. But I think the fact that, you know, I'm worrying and stressing and having anxiety about this whole thing, maybe as a form of arrogance, right? Typically not how I would think. I don't know. But I am grateful because this is why I signed up for club. Well, this is, turns out why I'm grateful I signed up for this club because, you know, if I hadn't been part of this club, I wouldn't be doing this, right? I would be, and we've gone to the parade many times. You want to go down to the parade? It's too cold, so we don't go. But, you know, we've been down to the parade, watched it go by. I've been on both sides of the parade. Never would I have imagined I would be in the parade. And so I'm grateful to be a part of the club that it allows me to get to do stuff like this. I am not the guy that just is building floats, right? There was plenty of those guys. I am the guy that likes to help build the float and participate. But, you know, I need to be part of a club. And it was really cool. And so, yeah. Really good stuff. Went to a meeting last night. Today is Tuesday. Went to the money meeting last night. Interesting. I was sort of torn between, you know, I was going to a different meeting for a while. Sort of found this meeting and sort of gotten into it. I'm not a big fan of, and now it reminds me, right? It reminds me why I'm not a big fan or why I don't go to this meeting or meetings like it is because there are parts of the big book I am just not a huge fan of. And where is my book? Yeah, there are parts I'm just not a huge fan of. And the part that I... Let's see. Um, kids take all my shit. But the point is, it's just, I think we were reading, what were we reading? 147. I can't even see anything. Jesus. Jeez Louise. All right. I think we were reading 147 last night. And I don't know. I just get a little, I think it was to the employer. Might have been this part right here. A vision for you. I don't know. I just, you know, I just get a little, it's just a different time, man. It is a big different, it's a big difference in time. And I get, you know, it talks about your man and it's just crazy. I'm just, I did it. I read it, but it's, I guess the whole point was it sort of went one in one eye and out the other. And I just wasn't really concentrating, but I did share. You know, it's funny when I came into this program, I was at the very, very bottom, right? And I'm always amazed at other people's stories, how they worked for corporations and, you know, started a family and had children all while they were drinking. You know, personally, there's a part of my mind in the back that says, well, they must not have been as bad as me, because I can tell you, nobody wanted to be around a guy like me. I was that classic freaking alcoholic. Once I start, I can't stop. Belligerent. You know, I don't think I was violent, but, you know, I would definitely stir up a bunch of shit. And so I'm just always amazed when I hear people that, you know, had a job. And now the difference is, this is back in 1939, 38, 37, 36, you know, prior to AA being started. You know, people were sort of just out there on their own. There were some other things, the Washingtonians and a couple other programs. But if you were like me, you were, it was jails, institutions, and death. And so to hear people talk about having a job and, you know, sort of cheating out on their employee, on their employer. You know, back in those days, they used to have the martini lunches where people used to, you know, go out or have the bar. There's that show Ad Men. I think that's a pretty good example of what life was like. I'm sure, you know, TV is probably not doing it complete justice, but, you know, they had bars in their offices, and they slapped their secretaries on the ass and, you know, carried on, and they had people to protect them. Their secretaries or coworkers would keep them, you know, out of trouble, or their wives or whatever. But it was just, it was crazy. And, you know, I never had that. I couldn't, I never had a great job, but it wasn't because of my drinking. Most of my work issues early on were really based around smoking pot. And it was just that desire to smoke pot, to skip school. I think it really just got me off on a bad start. But the, you know, eventually, I would settle into some shitty job, and, you know, especially, and I really think about from like 1994 when I moved to Delaware, really is when my drinking, I was drinking and driving. I was running my drunken mouth all over the place when I was out in California and Albuquerque. But when I came to Delaware, I could really feel this shift that the drugs were gone. And now the only thing left in my mind was alcohol, and it was legal. And I have to, you know, I remind myself I was coming out of jail. All I cared about was not getting arrested, right? I just don't want to get arrested. So I'll drink. It's legal. And all of that effort going into it. But still, you know, I had a job. But the job I had was, and I've been on both sides of this job, right? I've been on the blue collar side and I've been on the white collar side. You know, when I came in on the blue collar side, you know, all they needed was just a body, right? To cut greens and do this labor. They didn't care. I mean, I'd show up every morning drunk, you know, or at least coming to, right? From a long one. But they didn't care. It's like, here's your lawnmower, go cut grass. And I could get away with it. But that was about as best I could do. So when I came in and you know, started getting sober, I started to, you know, immediately get a little better and, you know, try to improve my career and went to school, yada, 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 and became a hairdresser. And then I've also been on the side where I've owned my business. And I've had drunks that work for me. And that's, you know, that's interesting too, because, you know, you as an employee, no, as an employer, excuse me, you need bodies, right? You need, you know, businesses don't work unless you have people to work in them. And so I've been on both sides, and it's, you know, it's interesting. I have a little bit of trouble with that. But the thing that I shared last night is that, and it's easy, you read these stories in the book, and it's about these drunks, and they're drunk and bad behavior. When I came in, I stopped drinking, and I fixed the biggest glaring problem that I had in my life, which is that I drank so much. And luckily, through the steps and working with a sponsor and sticking around, right, and going to a lot of meetings and not giving up, I started to learn that the drinking was just a symptom, right? Once again, drinking is a character defect of mine. It's as bad as lying, cheating, stealing, gluttony. It's a character defect. It's a deadly sin, but it is not the main problem. And the main problem that I have is that I make bad decisions, right? And I've shared this countless times, but, you know, it's important that people understand that. This is a decision-making problem. And, you know, that's why when people that are alcoholics, right, they have, they're, you know, especially back in these days, you know, that's why we're anonymous, is because, you know, you're a pretty weak-minded fucking person, man, if you're an alcoholic. Sorry. You're spiritually weak and you're mentally weak because, unfortunately, I make bad decisions, which lead me to back to drinking, which leads me to all the other shit that comes along with it. But in the end, it's a decision-making problem. And if you need someone to make good decisions, you know, you're probably not going to pick an alcoholic, especially not one that's active. It's just an issue. So it's just, you know, I just... It's weird. The whole story is a little weird for me. I know it's true, and I'm not saying it's not true. It's just hard for me to get my head around living back in 1939 and the steps that we would go to help people like us. And we still do, but to cover up for us, right? Your man, it says that a bunch of times, get your man. It's crazy. But, you know, like I said, I'm just grateful that I was able to learn, you know, through the steps that I have a lot of character defects and that really my problem is making bad choices. And then I just had to start focusing on making better choices, right? I keep thinking about the third steps when we turn our will and our lives over the care of a power or a higher power of our understanding. I think that, you know, is really the beginning. Even though when I came into the program and heard that, I was like, what? Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding? Or what is the actual, well, where's my book? A God of our understanding. I know it's not a higher power. It's of our understanding. Let's see. Step 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God as we understood him. Right. And, you know, when I remember early on when I started to make, when someone said, you know, attitude of gratitude and, you know, being half full as opposed to half empty. And then, you know, learning about the shopping carts and that I could just be a better person. And I was like, yes, look at this. And jumped on board, you know, really promoting myself and what a new good person that I was. You know, putting shopping carts back and doing all this stuff. It'd be the beginning of a journey trying to learn really what kind of person I am and what kind of person I could be. And, but yeah, all about this program. I'm, sort of rambling a little bit. I did this podcast yesterday and got pretty far through it. And then I had some audio difficulties and, yeah. And I gave up. So I thought, well, I'm going to do it today. But I just, you know, it was a great meeting other than, well, and here's another thing I've been dealing with. You know, I shared that I was sort of sponsoring a couple guys. Well, they haven't been calling. The one guy that was calling stopped calling. And then another guy, he calls every once in a while. And then my other guy calls, he does call every day. But the one new guy I was working with, he just stopped calling. And I'm like, fuck, maybe he went back out and drank. I mean, makes sense, I guess. Went to the meeting last night I went to the meeting last night, ended up, you know, it was like 6:31. I'm like, oh, I guess he's not coming. Well, then he came running in ended up making it to the meeting, decent meeting or whatever. And then, of course, we chatted after. And he said to me, he's like, you know, I go, first of all, I said, you don't have to call me anymore. You know, this is me. This is the voice that I'm trying to avoid, right? This is the behavior I'm trying to avoid, because there's a voice that's in my head that's telling me, don't sponsor this guy anymore. Don't help him anymore, right? It's everywhere. But he comes and I was like, hey, buddy. And he's like, I go, listen, you don't have to call me anymore. I said, you know, I suggested that you call me every day. You can't seem to call me every day, so don't call me anymore. A little bit of a baby there. Because I'm a little, I get frustrated, right? I should not. And then I reminded myself, because he says, well, I was going to call, but then I thought, well, I don't want to bother him. And I said, bingo, that's what we're working on. That is what will get us. That thing, right? That voice, that the feeling, the idea, that our next best idea, right? I shouldn't bother him. I said, that's why you have to call, because that's what's going to get us, that voice. Because I have the same voice. The voice that's telling you, don't call me, don't bother, so because you'll be bothering him, is the same voice that's telling me, don't help him, he didn't call. It's the disease. The disease does not want us better. Right? It's the same disease that told me, don't be part of this paddle club, right? It's the same disease that tells me, you know, don't raise your hand. It's the same disease that says, don't ask for help. It's the same disease that says, you got this. You don't need these meetings. It's the same disease that tells me, you know, I'm amazing and I'm so much better and maybe I don't need a program. It's the same disease that tells me you don't need to go to that meeting. They collect the money wrong. And it's the same disease that told me, look how good you've done. You should try drinking. It is cunning and baffling and fucking powerful. And, you know, I told him, this is what we have to work on. It's fucked up. But it's just that we all have it. It's a spiritual imbalance, right? And it's all laced in fear. You know, I don't want to bother him. You know, he could get upset. You know, I don't need that meeting. You know, I'll find another one. Good thing you spotted the corruption, right, of this meeting, the wrong way they collect money. Good thing you spotted it, and that way you don't have to put up with it. Get out of here. We'll find another one that does it correctly. No, we never find the meeting. And the guy said, you know, the voice said inside his head, don't call him. You'll be bothering him. But the reality is that he's not bothering me at all, right? And then he just doesn't once, and then this used to happen to me when I was in high school, man. I would ditch school. I'm like, I'm not going to go to this class today. Whether I was going to go hang out with my girlfriend, try to get pot, or didn't have the homework, I'm not showing up. I'll go the next day and get the homework, and I'll catch up. And then the next day, I'd be like, well, you can't go in there now because you didn't go yesterday, and you don't have an excuse. So then it would be 2 days. And then I would go, and I'd be like, well, you can't go now because it's 2 days that you haven't been to school. And you don't have any excuse, so now it's 3 days. And then I would start to go down the fucking drain, round and round. And then I would be like 10, 15 days into not going to school, and my dad would be freaking out at me. And it would all be because, you know, this one decision. One decision can ruin the rest of your entire life. You know that. It's crazy. It is just that one decision. And, you know, that's how this disease works. And it wants us to isolate, and it wants to keep telling us, well, you can't call now because he said to call every day, and now you didn't call yesterday, and now you're not calling today, so now you can't. It's sick. It's sick. All right, I'm going to read. How much time do we have here? I'm a little confused here. Okay, we're good. Let me read this. All right, so today, Daily Reflections. Carrying the Message, December the 10th. Now, what about the rest of the 12th step? The wonderful energy it releases and the eager action by which it carries our message to the next suffering alcoholic, and which finally translates the 12 steps into action upon all our affairs, is the payoff and the magnificent reality of Alcoholics Anonymous. 12 steps, 12 traditions. To renounce the alcoholic word is not to abandon it, but to act upon principles I have come to love and cherish, and to restore in others who will suffer the serenity I have come to know. When I am truly committed to this purpose, it matters little what clothes I wear or how I make a living. My task is to carry the message and to lead by example, not design. Yeah. I always say when you get to the ninth step, you don't really care about the ninth step promise, right? It's only when you're early on in recovery that you care about what the ninth step has to offer, right? What are we going to get? But once you work these steps, you don't give a shit about the ninth step promises. I used to say that the ninth step promises to me was a nice way of AA reminding us shit we have to work on, but not really promises. And yeah. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to go. I'm going to go to work. I just wanted to see if I could get this podcast together. Maybe it was this cord. You know, I had changed cords and given the other one to the pedal club, but I got it back and it actually seems to work better. So I don't know. Maybe that was it. I'll try to get better, but I appreciate you letting me share, and I hope everyone has a great day. Bye-bye.
Love, love, love.